And then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we have now reached the final midweek service, and of course that means the final midweek sermon in our series, From the Star to the Cross. We started off following that star from the east and then journeying to where our King was born, to see our King surrounded by people, especially surrounded by these magi bringing him gifts. The big emphasis here is to see that this Jesus is not just the Messiah for the Jews, but truly the Messiah for all nations, as these magi certainly aren't Jews. Then we fast forwarded a bit into Jesus' life and joined him as he was baptized. Here we focused on what baptism is, what it meant for Jesus to be baptized, but also focusing on Christ's death and how that relates to baptism as we read the words of Paul that we, through baptism, die with Christ and rise with him in our baptisms. Then we reflected on the temptation that he experienced as he wandered in the desert for 40 days. He was tempted by the tempter, by Satan himself. He was led to these great places, shown the nations of the world. He was tempted to display his power by turning rocks into bread. He was tempted in all these ways, but yet he always overcame that temptation. We then reflected on how we, through Christ, are given the power to overcome our temptations, and even when we succumb to our temptations, are then forgiven by the blood shed for us. And then last week, we really kind of opened things up. You know, we went birth, baptism, temptation, kind of a chronological sort of thing. But then we opened it up by reflecting on Jesus and his miracles and the ways that he displayed his almighty power in creation, as he healed these people from their various diseases and their handicaps. But now I think today we're going to look at the other side of his ministry. And I'm trying to think exactly how to say this. I kind of get the feeling that when we look at Jesus and his ministry, it's kind of twofold, right? One half is where he is displaying the power of God. And then the other half is where he is teaching people either about God or just about how things work. And so as we look at this miraculous healer, we also see an unbelievable teacher. And that's what I really want to focus on today, are these teachings that Jesus brought. I'm looking at a few of them. We start off with the parables of the lost, and that was our reading today. But truly, Jesus taught in a ton of different parables. I chose the parables of the lost because, honestly, they're my favorites, right? I love these parables because one of my passions in ministry is outreach. And these have been kind of a guiding principle for me. But it's such an interesting challenge, especially in Jesus' wording, right? It's the sort of thing where he asks a question already knowing the answer, right? Now, which one of you, having 100 sheep, if you lost one of them, would not leave the 99 to go find the one? Well, you'd all do that, right? This is kind of how he's asking these questions, knowing the answer. Same thing with this parable of the lost coin. How many of you, if you had 10 silver coins, lost one, how many of you wouldn't light a lamp and sweep the house? Well, you'd all do that, wouldn't you? But he's also emphasizing here that wouldn't we seek our property if it was lost? Wouldn't we seek money if we lost it? Why then don't we seek the lost people of God? Very challenging in these parables. But I also love these because of what Jesus is dealing with while he's bringing these teachings. Right? Who is Jesus surrounded by? He's surrounded by tax collectors and sinners. And as we see in other parts of Scripture, Jesus is surrounded by tax collectors, people who are sinful. So these are probably, you know, outwardly sinful people, thieves, you know, the someone who might be sexually active, like a prostitute or someone like that. It could be, you know, all these different things, but also even the people who were considered impure, right? So if you had a disease like leprosy, no one would go near you. You were impure. And here Jesus is sitting with these people and teaching these others about them. Notice he's not teaching necessarily with these parables the people who are surrounding him. He's teaching these Pharisees and scribes who are grumbling at him, at least in our gospel lesson from Luke 15, right? That's what I also find very interesting is that teaching that Jesus gives us elsewhere in Scripture is that the healthy have no need for a doctor, right? It doesn't make sense for a healthy person to go to a doctor and say, hey, I need a bandage because I'm unhealthy. Well, no, that's just not how it works. It's ludicrous to even say it, and as I'm saying the sentence, my brain is going, stop it, that's not how those things work. And I'm getting kind of tripped up on it. But here, what we see is the real doctor of eternity, of all things, is here with those who truly need him. And he is giving them a spiritual medicine that only he can administer in these beautiful teachings. But yet, when I also see here, what I also am learning from this teaching here, is that so often I get caught up, and I assume that, because I'm nobody special, that if I get caught up in this, you probably get caught up in this too. That I get so caught up in righteousness, right? In my own self-righteousness, trying to make myself better, to do the right thing, that I start beating myself up for failing, or the other side of things is I start judging others for being not as perfect as I am, right? That we get these big heads, and I look at these and I can see that sometimes I fall into those categories of belonging to the scribes and Pharisees. So here I see a Savior who is teaching, who is seeking, who is calling, who is helping us all learn. But then another big thing to remember about Jesus' teaching is it's not just for those outsiders, right? So these tax collectors, these sinners, they're on the outskirts of society, and some of them are probably not even Jews, right? The ones who would be extremely ostracized and cast aside would be foreigners, right? You're not a part of our people. You're not welcome to receive these things. But Jesus isn't just reaching out and seeking those people. He's also really teaching those who are inside. That he is administering and caring for those tax collectors and sinners, but who's really being taught are the Pharisees and scribes. We also see in that very beautiful Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew chapter 5 and onward, as Jesus just takes the law and opens it up, interpreting it and really showing his mastery and authority over the law. I would really encourage you this evening to just go home and read the Sermon on the Mount to see how Jesus teaches about the law, right? It's just astonishing what he does, because he really shows what the point of the law is. You know, one of the most profound ones there is, I think, on the subject of lust, where Jesus says, you know, when you look at somebody with lustful intent in your heart, you are guilty of the sin of adultery, which is just unreal for the people in the audience, right? How could I be guilty of adultery? Adultery is committing this act. You know, it's just happening in my mind. It's nothing, right? Working in restaurants and working with a lot of different people in a lot of different places, I've heard so often, right, it's okay if I look. I'm just window shopping, or something along the lines of, I'm like a dog on a chain. You know, I can bark at them, but I can't go anywhere with them. And this is how they justify it in their mind. But what Christ is calling us all out and saying that, even if you start thinking about it, you're guilty of that very serious sin. And he goes really deeper into the law and starts opening up things like murder, right? If you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. And you probably, I would imagine most of the people in the crowd are looking at Jesus going, what in the world is he saying? Murder is an act. Hatred is not an act. Hatred is a feeling. But what Jesus is really doing is opening up the law to show that with things like lust and hatred, it's a heart issue. What he is doing is he is showing us that it's not about just committing the act that breaks the law. It's about what leads you to breaking that law. It's about this complete brokenness that we all experience in our hearts. And in the Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus begin with? He begins with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are these guys, blessed are those guys. But the important one is blessed are the poor in spirit. Because what happens to you when you hear these things? Like, you are guilty of murder if you hate someone. When I hear things like that, I'm like, what can I do? I'm lost. Sometimes I can't even control the thoughts that go through my head. How in the world can I not be guilty of breaking the law of God? And that's where things like blessed are the poor in spirit are important. Because you will be blessed. Even though you have broken the law, you will be blessed. And that's what we see throughout Jesus' teachings, right? It's this challenge that really breaks us down. And then this beautiful salvation, right? That every time you hear these things, you're challenged to go, what am I supposed to do? And after every time, Jesus says, go to God. Go to the Father. Receive forgiveness, receive new life. You know, and as we reflect on Jesus as a teacher, it's so important to follow what he does. Because especially in our world today, I read this unreal book that I just could not put down called The Coddling of the American Mind. And this book was about how we have coddled people so much that we're setting them up for complete failure, right? So you've heard of those things like college safe spaces and the protests that happen on college campuses because they had, you know, maybe like a right-wing speaker coming to the campus and violence and horrible things happening. The point of this book is that we have coddled people so much that they just fall apart when they face any adversity. What a good teacher does is gives you adversity to learn from, to be right there by your side to help you out of it. We see so often, especially in our world today, that there's this, which is still baffling to me, there is no absolute truth, right? What's true for you is not true for me, and that's okay. Well, it's simply not true. It's not how anything works. If we had relative truths in things like our vehicles, right? Well, what's relative of 65 miles per hour to you is relative to X amount of miles per hour for me, and that's okay. If we actually applied those kind of thinkings to life, it would all fall apart. We need these absolutes, and that's what we see in the teachings of God, are these absolutes. If you hate, you are guilty. Not, well, if you're kind of not feeling a little good about this, well, it'll be okay this one time. No, it lays down the law, and he puts it very plainly for everybody, and it's always a challenge. I think the most profound one, especially that Jesus brought to the Jews, was you are called to love everyone. Well, what about no? Everyone. I don't care who they are. You are to love them. And that is an unreal challenge. Especially for us as we think about, well, who could be our enemy? We, you know, some of you remember things like World War II or Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler. Like, we have these people who were just considered the enemy of the United States. But nowadays, it's kind of like, I don't know if I have an enemy. But I definitely have people that I would not really want to be near. I think the big ones nowadays are those people who have different ideologies from us, right? So something like a white supremacist. That's not something that I agree with. That is something that I actually abhor, right? That someone could be so awful like that. That person would probably be an enemy to me. And God calls me to love them. You have whatever they're called, the wizards of the KKK, come into this church. And what does Christ tell us to do? Tells us to love them. That would be a challenge. What about you? What are those enemies in your lives? For some people out there, divorce is a big reality as the one you adored becomes your hated enemy. How do you love someone who has broken your heart like that? What about in situations like abuse? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the audacity of your pastor after you have been horribly abused by your partner, when your pastor then says, you're supposed to love them? If I said that to somebody, they'd probably break my nose, right? But this is the challenge that Jesus brings to us as a teacher. And this is the role of a teacher. And it's not easy for us as students to hear. But yet in all of these teachings, there's this one continuous thing. And especially with the teachings of Christ, it's that continuous thing of love. I think all of us have memorized John 3:16 because it is the teaching of God of His unreal love for us. That He loves us so dearly that He gives us His only Son to redeem us, not to condemn us, but to give us life eternal. And that comes from a situation where Jesus is teaching. He's sitting down with Nicodemus in some garden on some night. Teaching him about the love of God. We see that the teaching of God is that God adores us so much that He gives us everything, including His Son, that we would not be condemned, that we would be redeemed. And these are the teachings of God that on that cross, the price has been paid. But the teachings of God now for us as Christians who know this, we know the cross. We know the salvation that we have found. We are grateful and thankful people because of that. It is something that we live with every day of our lives. But the cross, as Paul reminds us, the cross is not an excuse for us to sin or ignore the teachings of God. That just because you are a Christian and because you are constantly forgiven does not mean that you get to shy away from loving those people, especially those people you don't want to be around. Right? It might not be an enemy situation. This is one that I heard, is that, well, I don't, God tells me I have to like them. I have to love them, but that doesn't mean I have to like them. Right? And that's something that I've heard people say. And it's nonsense. Because God says no. Loving includes liking them. It includes serving them. Because love shown to us is that God has laid down His life for us. And I guarantee you, if God were to stand with me and look at me in the midst of my sin, He wouldn't like me. But even in the midst of my sin, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we have to live in these teachings. We know this cross. We know this salvation. We have to live in it. And so I encourage you, dear friends, looking at all of these things, looking at all of the things that we even have going on in our church, you have to be involved in these teachings constantly. You know, the Muslims call us the people of the book because we always go back to the Bible. And it's a very appropriate name for us because we are. Because it is in that book that we have been taught of our salvation. It is in that book where we see not only that good teacher, but that miraculous God who took on human flesh, who took our place on the cross, and I know I'm not supposed to say it in Lent, but rose from the grave to give us eternity. It is in that book that we as Christians continue to live, because it's in that book that we find these teachings that tell us how to be God's people. In my sin, I don't know how to do it. But especially looking at books like James, I learned how to do it there. And so you need to be involved in various Bible studies as a Christian. You need to be involved in the Word so that you can hear what God is trying to teach you to get you to learn and to grow. And let me also emphasize that while Christ is the greatest teacher, the number two teacher is failure and learning how to grow from failure. When you mess up, you need to go back and examine why you messed up so that you can not mess up in the future. Failure is the greatest teacher that we have. And it's in every aspect of our lives that we have failed. But that means that every aspect of our lives has something to teach us to get us to grow. And this is all based on that one foundation of that main teaching of Christ, that the love of God is there for us forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.